Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since it's upon the screen and also was on the church sign, would you read together with me the title of this morning's message? I have a problem. It's based on 1 Kings 19, the Old Testament reading we just had read. Listen to these key verses. Then Elijah came to a cave and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. And they seek my life too to take it away." Again, our theme for today is I have a problem, and I encourage you to turn in your worship folder to the back of that insert and find there the sermon outline, and we will follow together with that outline. The story is told of a mother of five who in the country area went next door visiting. And when she came back after a couple of hours, she found her five children all sitting in a circle in the living room surrounding something of which they were very interested in. Upon closer examination, the mother learned she had a big problem. The children were circling around a family of skunks. And she yelled out to her children, "Run, children, run!" Whereupon each child grabbed a skunk and they ran. Problems. We all have them. The prophet Elijah had a problem, and it began in 1 Kings 18, the chapter before this morning's Old Testament reading. It started with an amazing contest on Mount Carmel. The contest was to decide once and for all who was the true God, the false idol god Baal of the Canaanites, or the Lord God of Israel. On top of this mountain, 450 false prophets of the idol god Baal danced and sang and shouted and cut themselves until their blood was running to get Baal's attention. Elijah simply prayed. The Lord God revealed himself on that mountaintop as a mighty God. Go home today and read 1 Kings 18, this amazing account. Elijah won the contest. Baal was shown to be made as just a man-made idol. The false prophets of Baal were put to death. Elijah was indeed on top of the world. But right after this powerful victory, Elijah had to run for his life. The wicked queen Jezebel, and notice nobody calls a little girl Jezebel anymore. The wicked queen Jezebel was so furious that her false prophets were slain and her false god was shown to be nothing that she commanded Elijah to be put to death. Elijah ran away in fear, in depression, with lack of faith. Elijah was so low, as we'll discover a little later, he simply wanted to die. Now let me ask you a very personal question this morning. Have you ever been on top of the world one day, only to be in the depths of despair the next? This morning, we can learn from Elijah's mistakes. His four key mistakes in dealing with his problem are listed in your sermon outline. Take a glance there. First of all, Elijah ran before he prayed. Fear of Jezebel compelled Elijah to run. Now, have you ever run away from something, trying to avoid it? The issue always seems to be the same, whether it was for Elijah or for us. We somehow, with Elijah, figure that God just is not big enough to handle this problem we've got. And so, we try to run away from it. Now compare what Elijah did with what King Hezekiah did sometime later. In King Hezekiah's time, the powerful enemy Assyria was attacking Jerusalem and Judah. They had surrounded the city of Jerusalem. The king of Assyria sent a letter to Hezekiah by means of a messenger. And this letter basically read, you can read this story in 2 Kings 19. It's listed on your outline. The messenger said, he read the king's message, and it basically said this: Hezekiah, give up. Jerusalem is surrounded. You cannot escape. Your God cannot save you or your people now. In 2 Kings 19, 14, here's what we read. Hezekiah received the letter, and he read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord, and he spread it out before the Lord. That's a Hebrew way of saying that Elijah prayed. He laid it out before the Lord and asked for his guidance and his strength and his help. Did you catch it? Elijah ran. Hezekiah prayed. Judah was spared, and the enemy army of Assyria did not storm the walls of Jerusalem. God was indeed big enough to handle Hezekiah's problem. Well, the second mistake Elijah made was this. It's written before you. He evaluated the situation before he had proper rest and nourishment. After a hard day of running for fear of his life from Queen Jezebel, Elijah was exhausted in body, mind, and soul. Have you ever been so exhausted in body and mind and soul? In his exhaustion, when he was at his lowest, Elijah made some bad evaluations. First, he decides, I just want to die. 1 Kings 19, verse 4 reads, Lord, it's enough for me, O Lord. Just take my life. Next, in his exhaustion, he figures that in all of Israel, he is the only one left faithful to God. Have you ever caught yourself saying something like that? If I don't do it, nobody else will do it. It all depends on me. Elijah said to God, he says in verses 10 and 14, he says this twice in this chapter, I quote, Lord, I've been very zealous for you, the Lord God. I alone am left in Israel, faithful to you. Take my life. Oh, Elijah, your life would not be taken by God. He had great plans for you. And Elijah, in your exhaustion and your tiredness, you miscalculated the whole thing. You only missed it by 6,999. Elijah said, I'm the only one faithful. God says to him, Elijah, I have 7,000 in Israel whose knee has not bowed to Baal or kissed him. Have you, in a time where you were mentally or physically or spiritually exhausted, ever wrongly evaluated a situation and made it out to be worse than it really was? We all have done it. In just a little bit, we'll see God's solution to this one. But look at your outline. The third mistake that Elijah made was this. He asked for a change in his outward circumstances. Instead of a change in his own personal character. Elijah's wrong-focused request was this. Change my circumstances, Lord. Take my life instead of change me, O Lord, regardless of my circumstances. Now compare this with what happened to St. Paul. St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, listen to these words. To keep me from becoming conceited, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it from me. But he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast in my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am really strong. God did not change the circumstances in Paul's life. His thorn in the flesh, which likely was a serious physical ailment, was not taken away. Instead, God changed Paul. Because of his thorn, Paul learned the lesson he had to learn, to lean on God's strength and not his own. Paul trusted in God in all circumstances, and that proved vitally important with all the challenges Paul had to face as being a spokesman for God in a hostile time and the father of so many New Testament churches. Look at the fourth mistake Elijah made. It's listed for you. Elijah focused on the problem and not on the source of his strength. We read in 1 Kings chapter 19, 9, "Then he came to a cave and he lodged there, and the word of the Lord came to him, and the Lord said to him, 'Elijah, what are you doing here?'" Elijah hid in the cave. He hid in a cave and he focused on the problem of Queen Jezebel, not on the greatness of his God. But his great and loving God would not leave Elijah alone in that cave. His Lord would direct Elijah's eyes to someone far greater than puny Queen Jezebel. Now compare this with what was said of Moses in Hebrews 11:27. I quote, Moses, who had to face down Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. "By faith, Moses left Egypt. Not fearing the king's power, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible." That is to say, Moses saw and focused on the Lord his strength, not on Pharaoh his problem. Today's 1 Kings 19 text, did you catch it? Is a mirror. A mirror in which we see both Elijah and ourselves. But when we turn this mirror over, and here comes some good news, when we turn this mirror over, we also see our gracious and loving God, because indeed God responded to Elijah's problems. First, and it's recorded before you, God ministered to Elijah's immediate needs. Listen to verses 5 to 8. "Elijah lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And an angel of the Lord touched him and said, 'Arise and eat.' And there was at his head a bread of cake and a jar of water. So after sleeping, he arose and he ate and he drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. God did not immediately, now hear me carefully as you're considering your own issues. God did not immediately solve the Jezebel problem. Oh, indeed, it was solved not long afterward. You should see how she met her end. But instead of an immediate solution to Elijah's problem, God provided rest and strength and food to Elijah. With this gift of God, not only could Elijah face the day, but also the next 40 days in God's strength. How many times in our lives, when we receive God's gifts of rest and nourishment, are we better able to face life's challenges? It's good for us to listen to our mother's advice, isn't it, Maria? Sleep on it. Sleeping on it and putting it in God's hands will give us a whole different way of looking at things tomorrow. Next, God listened to Elijah's complaint. He says in verse 9, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" What are you doing here, Elijah? Asked the loving Lord to the man who hid and complained in a cave. Elijah poured out his heart to God, and God listened and strengthened Elijah. This cannot help but remind you of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to each of us in Matthew 11:28, when he says, and make no mistake, he's saying it to you, "Come unto me, you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Your Lord will listen as you pour out your heart to him, and he's big enough to take whatever you've got to dish out. Next, the Lord revealed himself to Elijah as a loving God. Much more than a solution or a quick fix to his problem, Elijah needed an assurance of God's care and his presence. And so the Lord revealed himself to Elijah anew. My friends, so often what we need is not a simple or short-sighted solution. We need an assurance of God's presence and love. And armed with that, we can face whatever life throws our way. Elijah came out of that mountaintop cave because the word of the Lord came to him. We read now in verses 11 and 12, a great strong wind passed by. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a still small voice. The Lord was in that still small voice. The Lord spoke to Elijah's heart and strengthened his soul. And Elijah now was able to be the mighty man of God that God called him to be. My friends, today, if he wanted to, he could. But God does not necessarily today come to us in clouds parting and ground shaking and heavenly fireworks. So often he comes to you and me as he came to Elijah in his still small voice. In the still small voice of God as he speaks to us in his holy word, in a sermon, in a Bible class, in our own private devotions. He speaks to us in a still small voice through the waters of holy baptism. He speaks to us in a still small voice through the bread and wine of holy communion, his body and blood given for us. He speaks to us in his still small voice through the hymns and songs we sing, the liturgy we speak. And what is the message of this still small voice? Are you listening? Listen to this still small voice. The voice says to you today, look to the cross. Look to the cross. See there my love for you. Hear the voice of the one there who said, it is finished. As the sins of the world were paid for. As your sins have been paid for. See that one who burst forth from the tomb to give you victory over sin and death and devil. Hear him say to you today, are you listening? Hear that still small voice say to you, and I am with you, whatever this life throws your way. So, how would your Lord then have you handle life's problems? Look at the last part of your outline. What have we learned? Number one, as a first step, we commit the problem to our Lord in prayer. May this be your first step, not your last resort. Number two, make sure that you're at your best mentally and physically before making a major decision. Humbly receive God's gifts of sleep, rest, and nourishment. Sleep on it before making a rash decision or evaluation. Thirdly, we ask God, change me, O Lord. Change me, not just my circumstances. Thereby we can learn St. Paul's secret as he says, God's power is made perfect in my own weakness. And fourthly, remember that the solution to all of our problems lies in God's power, not in mine. Psalm 89, verse 13 says, I love this passage. It says, you have a strong arm, O Lord. Our concluding story will talk about God's strong arm. It's told by the former president of our Concordia University College in Edmonton, Alberta. Walter Wangerin shares this story. When I was a boy, I told everybody I knew, my daddy has arms as strong as trucks. He's the strongest man in the world. Then one day I was climbing high up in the cherry tree in our backyard, and a sudden storm blew in. Horrible wind and rain came out of nowhere. I yelled, Daddy, Daddy, save me. Daddy ran to the base of the tree and yelled, jump. jump and I'll catch you. Jump, I said to myself. I thought, aren't you coming up to get me? I had a crazy man for a father. He was 6 or 7 miles below me, that tree, with 2 skinny little weak arms, reached up to catch me. Jump. I decided to hold on, he says, until the storm was over. But the tree limb I was on suddenly broke, and I began to fall, and I screamed. But my daddy caught me. And I wrapped my arms and legs around my papa and felt the scratchiness of his whiskers on my soft cheek, and I began to cry. Oh, my daddy has strong arms indeed. That storm gave me, he says, what I had all along, but what I had not really trusted, a father with arms as strong as trucks. Do you have a problem? We all do. But God has good news for us. Today we've learned from the life of Elijah that we have a loving Lord. We have a precious Savior. We have a Heavenly Father with arms as strong as trucks. And guess what? There's no need to run anymore. In the name of Jesus, amen.